Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Sabbath. Thank you for keeping us safe. As we study the Word of God this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit may be here with us, in our minds and our hearts. Open our hearts for the instruction this morning. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So you're in search for the perfect gift, are you? Hope some of you maybe have your shopping all done. Some of you, there's, I heard a little bit of laughter. That means, tell me something. That one, you have not started, or two, you're one of those that wait till about, Wednesday the 24th. And then you run out and do the mad dash. In search for the perfect gift, as I was analyzing this the sermon and preparing for it, I came to a conclusion that the perfect gift is really in the eye of the beholder. I have a lot of perfect gifts here that I just wanted to share with you because, you know, they're gifts, and I'll just share part of my life with you. Interesting gifts at times. Where do we go? Oh, I got the perfect tie, still in its package for about 8 years. You know, it's still here. I told my wife I like Lamborghinis, so she got me one. Oh, yes. Oh, and there's, 1998, my brother-in-law, my dad, and my brother, for some reason, we started playing darts. They're at my mom's house in Grants Pass, and we play darts. And so that was in 99. So I have this dartboard, the perfect gift. Huh? I have the receipt back here from the year 2000. And I still haven't been able to use it. A perfect gift. Some gifts are very unique. This one, there isn't one of these alike in the whole world. And I'll tell you why. Any of you know the painter Nathan Green? He does really good work, doesn't he? Well, the Pathfinders, they went to, I don't remember where they were, Michigan, and he was there. And they had him sign this picture, and it says, Preaching the Word. The reason it's unique is that here in the corner it says, To Pastor Walter Mancia, it says, Keep on preaching, brother. And he signed Nathan Green. In the back, all the Pathfinders signed. Very unique. In search of the perfect gift. What is the perfect gift? One of these days, I'll tell you the story of this gift that I brought home. I almost was put in the Bolivian prison for taking this out of their country. But is that the perfect gift? This one's really heavy. My wife, I gave this to my wife, and as a matter of fact, she has a collection of these, a whole bunch of them, different styles, sizes. And, of course, when I give these to her, they come up like that. These are nice flowers, by the way. Thank you. I'm always in search. When you buy a gift for your wife, you have to get the perfect gift, don't you? And when it's flowers, I'm walking by, and some of them you look at them and you just go by. But some of them you're walking and you're looking like. Then you go open and look at the tag. But we're always in search of the perfect gift. Last time we were doing something over there, and we were trying to cut something. I never carry a knife with me or anything. Some of you do, and you know, someone gave me a gift. All the cutting tools you would ever have, they're in there. And yet, sometimes you find yourself saying, "I don't have a little cutting tool or anything." In search. And people keep searching for the perfect gift. Four years ago, I was at Big Lake Pastor's Camp. And I was at center field, and the ball, it was a hit to me. I got it, and I threw it, home plate. Well, that was the last time I was able to do that because I threw my arm out, and as a matter of fact, it still hurts. So, being active in sports, I decided to do, what do I do now? I can't. Volleyball hurts. Softball hurts. Baseball hurts. Football hurts. So I got the idea that I needed to play an old man's sport. So I started playing golf. Or trying to play golf. And then all of a sudden I get all kinds of perfect gifts. I have this one. I have all kinds of books that people have given me now. Transform your game, it says. Well, that's interesting because I don't have a game to begin with. So how could I transform my game if I don't have a game to begin with? Okay. I like this one, though. This is the perfect gift. These are balls, golf balls, that have a Bible scripture in them. So when I lose them and somebody else find them, which is often, they would get a blessing out of reading the scripture that's in my golf ball that I lost, probably the first tee off. So, in search of the perfect gift, look at this. I told a story once about how I tried to evict moles from my home, and I tried everything. I mean, you'd be surprised at all the things that I tried to get those little critters peacefully, of course, and in a nice Christian way. And then about 2 weeks later, my good friend, he wrapped this up for me. It's a mole trap. Because I tried everything else except, he said, a mole trap. And as a matter of fact, it's brand new. It's not even used. And I still have it. I still have it. In search for the perfect gift, what does the perfect gift come wrapped in? The box, what do you think the perfect gift would come in? Would it look something like this? You know? Would it look like a nice, shiny black box like this? Some of you have seen it. And you say, yeah, that's the perfect gift right there. That's it. That's a perfect gift. Some of you have gone into my office and you have seen that I have swords in there. I tell people, yeah, it's to get my point across. No, I don't collect swords. I had one that I used for illustrations, but I do know a good deal when I see one. So when I could get 5 swords and 12 little ones for the price of one, I went ahead and bought them. But ever since then, I've been trying. They've been giving me perfect, you know, gifts. This is nice. The Excalibur. One of these days I'll tell you the story about the Excalibur. Perfect gift. Well, how do they come? How do they come wrapped up? And is there such a thing as the perfect gift? If we buy red, sometimes we should have gotten yellow. And if we got yellow, maybe the next size should have been blue. And gentlemen, it is better to buy small than to buy large. I'm just giving you a little hints here. Somehow you learn these things through experience, you know? The perfect gift, we're always in search of the perfect gift. And yet some are, you could get them the perfect gift, and some are still unhappy because some people are just plain picky to shop for. And you know that. And I know that. The perfect, perfect gift. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about the perfect gift. And it is a gift that God Himself sent to us. I have full assurance that God always gives us good and perfect gifts. Do you agree with that? Always. So this morning, just to keep our perspective in spiritual things, to keep the perspective that it's, you know, it's leading up to this great and wonderful holiday of Christmas, I would like to just help us to remember why we even celebrate Christmas. And this morning, I just wanted to share with you some of the gifts that God Himself gave to us. Some of the gifts. So I hope you brought your Bibles, because we're going to be using them a lot. If you did not bring your Bibles, there should be some right in front of your pew there, right in front of you. And we're going to be using these, the Bible this morning to look up some texts. Because Christmas is about giving. About giving, especially giving to those that are in need. And by the way, I would like to thank you as your pastor, because, you know, we raised about $4,000 for those that are in need this holiday season. $4,000. Thank you. And the families will thank you for that, because you and I, we played a part in helping someone or a few or a family this holiday season. Turn your Bibles into the book of Luke, chapter 2. And we're going to be reading there verse 11. Luke 2:11. It says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Sometimes go and buy caps, baseball caps, hats, whatever you want to call them. And because I guess we can never have too many of those. Seems like most men have more than one cap. I guess caps to men are like shoes to ladies. We have to have the right color, you know. And some of the caps always, well, not always, but most of the time, they would say, "One size fits all." Yeah, if you have a small head. But if you have a big head, like me, that's not true. And then I started seeing that they changed that. Now they put "one size fits most." But if there ever was a gift, if there ever was a gift that you could say that everybody needs one, that one size fits all for reals, and that you can't do without what we just read, that is that gift. This is the one-size-fits-all gift. It says, "Unto you a Savior is born." Wow. I don't know if any of you have read the book by Max Lucado, "When God Became Man." That's a very interesting book. As a matter of fact, it opened my eyes. And for me personally, I thought he was kind of getting up there with, you know, just trying to balance in line within something, even going into the irreverent. But as I thought about it, and I sat down and let just the feelings that we sometimes have about Jesus Christ, and he starts really putting on paper what that meant, you really start thinking, wow. God, the King of the universe, in diapers. I mean, he babbled, he drooled. I mean, his diapers had to be changed. Right? Yeah. And he was totally, totally dependent on Mary and Joseph. We're talking about God, the King of the universe. I often wondered why didn't he, there was something rewritten in the Word of God that would say, and God himself stepped out of Gethsemane and he walked with all his might and his power. Could you just see that? Jesus walking with that white robe, coming out of Gethsemane with his arms stretched out. That's what we would have had for the coming of the Messiah. No birth, just Jesus grown up coming out of Gethsemane. And yet, unto us, it says, a Savior will be born, and you shall call his name Jesus. The greatest gift of all is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. When Adam and Eve sinned, I could imagine that was a terrible, terrible day for the universe. The angels must have been sad. God himself was sad. Jesus was sad. The Holy Spirit. They were all in agony. Because of really what it meant. Remember that the plan of salvation was drawn up way before the creation, way before the foundation of all the universe. It was drawn up. And now that man and woman had sinned, then God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, what did that mean to them? Is that now Jesus had to go down and do what he needed to do. The gift, the perfect gift of a Savior was given to you and to me. And the first promise that we have of that, we find it in Genesis. If you'd like to open your Bible, Genesis 3, chapter 15. I'm sorry, Genesis 3, verse 15. Genesis 3, verse 15, it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This was the first promise of a Savior coming to redeem us, to save us. I was walking here across, and I was listening to the Sabbath school class over there, and that was the question on salvation. Question on why did Jesus have to die? This gift, the gift of Jesus, was according to the Bible, it was a timely gift. Have you ever received a timely gift? I mean, when you least expected something that you really, really needed, and you got that. That is a timely gift. You and I were headed in one direction, and that was destruction. That was death. Because all of us have sinned. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, who came as a Savior to die for us, all we had to look forward to is death. But thank God that He sent this timely gift, the timely gift of Jesus, to redeem us from our sins. Now, Jesus came. He is this major gift, but this gift brought gifts with Him. And one of the gifts that Jesus brought, and I already mentioned this, was the gift of salvation. It says, "For God so loved you that He sent His only Son, that if you believe in Him, if you believe in Him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life." That is a gift of Jesus Christ. That is the gift of salvation. And this gift of salvation is really about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Why do we say that? Because the Bible tells us that in the end, there are people that are going to be going to Jesus, and they're going to be saying, "Lord, in Your name we did miracles. Lord, in Your name we preached the gospel. Lord, in Your name we tried to do all that we could to honor You." And then if we want to put it, bring it more here at home, "Lord, in we tithe and gave offerings. Lord, I kept the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, there's only two Sabbaths I missed church. Lord, you know, I was baptized by immersion. I believed in You. I did everything right." And then the Bible says that unfortunately, Jesus will look at us and say, "And who are you? I don't know you. I don't recall ever meeting you. Have we met before?" Could you imagine? Could you imagine us standing before Jesus and Him looking at us and saying, "Have we met before?" The gift of salvation is a personal, you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in order to receive this gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. If you look up that text with me. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For," it says, "by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And that's pretty neat, because could you imagine us getting into heaven and jumping around and saying, "We made it. Yes, we made it. Oh, boy, all those things that we did, all those Bible studies that I gave. Yes, praise, you know, we praise ourselves. We made it." All the honor, all the glory shall and will go to the one who deserves it, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. Because if you and I get to heaven is not because of what we did. It's not because of our merits, but it is going to be because of the grace of Jesus Christ and that alone. Romans 6:23. Let's look at that text because it's very important that we understand about the gift of salvation. The wages of sin is death. But, it says, the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Eternal life. We, and thank God, we cannot be God. But yet that is something that the devil is using even today. Telling people that you can be God. And apparently that's something that strikes at the heart of an unconverted man, I would say. Because that's the lie that he told Eve. The moment you eat out of it, you will know the difference between good and evil, and you will be like God. Wow. The gift of God is eternal life. We will not and cannot be like God for this reason. One, eternity means that you do not have a beginning and you do not have an end. Thanks to God, we will not have an end, but we did have a beginning. And when God sends His Son, Jesus Christ, for us, for that homecoming, and He comes and takes us out of this world, eternal life officially would have begun. Why do I say officially? Because I believe that eternal life could begin right now. Because in Christ, we could start living the life that would just carry on over to until when we're translated to the heavenly kingdom. And that is a possibility only through Jesus Christ. So this perfect gift, and by the way, some people are still searching for Jesus. And I pray that you understand that, because you and I could be that one person that could lead them to the perfect gift, Jesus Christ. So this perfect gift came. He is our Savior. He brought with Him the gift of salvation. But not only that, He also has other special gifts. One of them is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's check this one out. John 14. John 14, we'll read verses 16 through 18 and 26. John 14, 16 through 18 and 26. And this is what it says. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And verse 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So, in these passages, we discover three things about the Holy Spirit. The first one is that the Holy Spirit is an indwelling person. In other words, You have to allow the Holy Spirit to come into your heart. He does not force Himself into your heart. He will never do that. He will ask permission to come into your heart. And then when you ask Him to come into your heart, then He will ask you something else. He would say, you know, I came in there, but it was a little bit crowded. Would you mind if I do a little bit of housekeeping, cleaning up? Would you mind if I do that? And you have the choice of saying, no, I like my house just the way it is, with a little bit of clutter here and a little bit of clutter there. And yes, it's a little bit messy, but that's okay. That's the way I like my house. And please don't come in here and tell me how to keep my house. So the Holy Spirit says, okay, well, you know, I can't really stay in there because I really don't have a place really to stay. So I'll just step out and I'll keep working with you until you let me in your house. And maybe next time I'll ask, maybe you want me to do a little bit of housekeeping? Yeah? All right. The Holy Spirit wants to dwell in our hearts. But if there's sin in our hearts, understand this, He cannot dwell in there. And if we are serious, if you are seriously considering living eternally with Jesus Christ, then I would say that you seriously consider asking the Holy Spirit to come into your heart, to come into my heart, and really do spring cleanup, so to speak. As a matter of fact, winter cleanup and fall cleanup and all kinds of cleanup on a daily basis, because we need to have our hearts cleansed. And the Holy Spirit, that indwelling person, is the one that does that. Second thing we learn from this passage is that the Holy Spirit is an empowering person. The Holy Spirit knows that we are bent toward doing evil. He knows that. And even though He knows that, praise the Lord that He still loves us and is willing to work with us. And so He will give us the power to be victorious Christians. He empowers you to do what He is asking of you. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life and He asks you something, He asks you to stop doing something. He is asking you to do something. He is asking you to do some type of ministry. Whatever it might be, He will empower you to do that. And the third thing that we learn from this, the passages here, is that the Holy Spirit is an educating person. He will continue to teach us and instruct us and guide us and lead us. You know, we're like children. I know some of you might think, well, I'm a grown-up already. Yeah, you're a grown-up. But to God, we're all children. Because could you see God? Ah, they did it again. I told him, you know, like we do with kids, please stay out of there, clean up your room, and we left it all nice and neat. You step out of the door, 10 minutes later, you open the door, it's like, ah! He did it again. Look at, there's a billion Legos all over the place. We just had them all neatly put in a box. And that's how the Lord looks at us. Ah, they did it again. But I love them. They're my children. And what am I going to do? Well,
all right, let's put the Legos away, you know.
Come and help. Yeah. That is what the Lord does. He educates. You know, I was so relieved as I was growing up that heaven is not just going to be me in a cloud, half naked, playing a harp. I am glad that we're going to have the opportunity to do whatever we wanted to do as far as learning, as far as traveling, as far as, you know, instruments. I'm going to learn to play the piano and the organ and the violin and the flute and any other type of heavenly musical instrument that might be there. And I'm going to be able to sing with the angels. That is good news to me. I hope it's good news to you. But the Holy Spirit will continue to educate us and to guide us and to instruct us. And then there are the gifts of grace. And because of time, I'm just going to mention the text here. 2 Corinthians 8:19. These gifts, this one mentions the gift of giving. I've met many people that if you ask them, hey, you know, could I take that shirt off your back? I said, sure. Here. I mean, there are people that are so giving that sometimes you wonder, you go and visit them and you say, this does not make sense. Here we have this person that needs certain things, and yet they're willing to give even that which they have. When I was studying in Montemorelos, I used to go to a church. It would take me 2 hours to get to the church on a bus. And if you ever ridden on a bus in Mexico, it's a very exciting experience. And we used to take this bus down a canyon, and it was only one way. So if a car was coming this way, I guess you would have to decide who's bigger and who could back up. And sometimes it was just a staring contest between the bus driver and the car that's right there. To say, I'm not budging, you move. And we used to go 2 hours and used to go to this little church where there were 30 members. For some reason, I guess the men thought that all the religion was for women. Because there were 30 members, 29 of them were women, and there was one male. And he was the deacon and the elder, of course, because, you know, that's the way it should be, right? But at the end, these people would invite me to go to their home, and I was even embarrassed to even take food from them. I should have been bringing food to them. And yet, it was so uncomfortable. For me, so uncomfortable for them to sit me down and to have the four or three little children there and them serving the pastor first and the kids wait because whatever's left after the pastor's been served, then they serve you, the kids. The gift of giving. God gave everything for you. He gave His most precious gift that He had, His Son. He gave that to you. And in turn, all He's asking is that we have the same spirit of giving. Give to those that are in need. But I think what the Holy Spirit, what God Himself would like to receive, the greatest gift I think that God would like to receive from us is our own life and our own heart. The gift of giving. Ephesians 3, 7 and 8 talks to us about the gift of serving. The gift of serving. Jesus Christ, King of the universe, the Lord of Lords, came down to be a servant to man. And that's why the disciples could not believe it. They would not accept it. When Jesus Christ knelt down there, right there in that upper room, with a towel, and He was about ready to wash their feet, they would say, no, we can't have none of this, because you're our leader. You're a king. You shouldn't be doing that. You should not be taking up the position of a servant. Never. And yet Jesus Christ came here to serve. We should be doing the same thing. We should be serving Jesus. We should be serving God. We should be serving our fellow men. And how long does that service last? How long does the service last? Well, it should last for about maybe the 90, 100, 120 years that we are going to live in this earth. And then it should last throughout eternity, because we will all be servants of God Almighty throughout eternity. And yet sometimes I haven't heard it from here, so hopefully I won't hear it from here. But sometimes I have heard people say, I have put in my time. I'm like, okay, what does that mean? I've served enough in the kids' division. I'm done. Or I've served enough here. Or I served enough there. Oh, really? Could you imagine if God said, Jesus, Spirit, I think we've done enough. Okay. That's all we're going to do. We've done more than enough for those guys. This is where we stop. Could you imagine? I'm so glad that that's not their thinking. That was not their thinking. Why? Because they loved us so much. And they continue to love you so much. They're willing to do whatever it takes to get us home. I suppose most parents have had this experience. We go, you know, we want to give our kids gifts and that they will enjoy. I like to see my kids. If I had the PowerPoint presentation, I would have shown you a picture of that I caught of my daughter in her birthday. Her eyes just like really big of a present, I guess she really liked. And this expression on her face, that was worth $1 million to me. It was like, Jesus Himself, when He sees us receiving a gift, He just enjoys for us to express the joy that we have that He sent Jesus Christ. But parents, you've taken the time to go and buy something for your kids, and we've all had the experience, I think, because I did. We bring that, and they open it on Christmas, and they're all excited, and all of a sudden, after a little while, we turn around and then we look. The toy is over there, and they're just having a ball with the box. I mean, they're going in, they're walking like robots, and they're bumping against each other. I mean, with the box. I told my wife, I know what I'm going to get him this year. A box. A big box. You know, we kind of sometimes feel a little bit disappointed at times because, they're playing with the box. And sometimes that approximates the feeling that God might feel when we, as His children, we have a different attitude about the gifts that He has given us. So what do you do with a gift? 2 weeks ago, I gave somebody a gift because I was illustrating this. I gave him a gift. Here's a gift. What do you do with a gift? I said, well, they answered right. You accept it. Okay. As they left my class, they left me the gift there. So I had to get that gift and bring it outside and said, here's your gift. It was a real gift. It is yours. What do you do with a gift? You thank God for it. You accept it and thank God for it. 2 Corinthians 9:15. 1 Timothy 4:14, you use it. You use it for God's honor and glory. 2 Timothy 1:6 and 7, you share it. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it. Second coming of Jesus Christ, are you ready for that? Do you want Jesus to come? Let me tell you something. Don't keep it as a secret. Sometimes we think like, oh, Jesus is coming. Let's not tell anybody. No, share it. And 2 Peter 1, 2 and 8, we need to continue to add to the gifts. Don't stop there. There are many other gifts that God has given us, and we have to look for them, and we have to apply them to our life. I'm going to end with this story. It was the week before Christmas. And you know how the week before Christmas gets. Parking spaces were all crowded. There wasn't one all around. You would have to be driving around just to see if someone would get out. There were long lines there at the checkout. Really long lines. You know, some of those lines that even would try the patience of the saints. Really long. They're rude. Could you imagine? People get rude when they get in line. The spirit of giving, the spirit of Christmas, the spirit of joy. But if you come in line of me, I'm going to punch your face if you cut in front of me. Seriously, I've been where people that, you know, I'm glad they didn't use that baseball bat they were buying for their children. But that's the way it was. Everything was full. The lines were long. The crowded. The stores were crowded. Rude people all over the place. And most of all, grossly inflated prices. Okay, taking advantage of those of us that sometimes shop on the 24th. So there was this long checkout line. And one man, so the story goes, one man was overheard saying this: they should kill the guy that started Christmas. And one wise, godly woman overheard this, and she said this: they did. They hung him on a cross. And it is there, the reason for the season. The perfect gift. Jesus Christ came down to die for you and for me. May the Lord bless us all as we continue to prepare for that special day that we, you know, commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ. But remember, it is a gift that we need to share with others. I'm going to invite all of you, if we could just stand together as we sing the closing hymn, number 130. Number 130. Thank you. Father, this afternoon, we as a church and as individuals, we would really like to thank you for the perfect gift that you sent to us. We would like to thank you for Jesus. We would like to thank you for what he did, for what he is doing, and for what he will do. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is the person that guides us and dwells in us and leads us and educates us and empowers us. Father, God, we thank you for all that you do for us also. So be with us now as we continue to honor your name throughout the Sabbath day. And not only throughout the Sabbath, but as we begin the new week, may we dedicate it to you and to honor your name. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.